Okay, we are up to Siman Lamed Zayin. We're up to a very interesting topic, the topic of Tevilas Kelim. You have to be Tevil Kelim in the Mikvah. We concluded yesterday Melicha. There are a few little things that I left out. Now, what about if you soak meat in orange juice? What happens? Instead of water or apple juice? There are all these interesting shilas. So B'dievet, it's okay. B'dievet, I left out a few things over here. If you soak meat in maperos, discuss other things. How, when you liver, how much do you have to roast liver? When you roast liver, to what degree? So you have to at least half of what it needs to be, what's called complete. In other words, if you were to serve liver, roasted liver, which we do roast, in order for it to be kosher, it has to be roasted at least half of the amount that's acceptable to roast. There are different shiurim, there are a few little things I left out. Okay, well, let's now go to the laws of Hilchas Tevilas Kelim, which is Simin Lamed Zayin. On the handout, it's the last thing on the handout, I made it to the end, I think, on page Reish Ches. I need to get you new handouts. Now, before we begin, let me read to you, you don't have this in front of you, let me read to you from the Or HaChaim, in the Kitta Shulchanah with the Likutei Piskei Tshuvos, he quotes, it's a very nice Hagdama. Beautiful Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim says as follows: Kosov Batorah, Vayoymer Elozer Hakohen El Anshe Hatzava. When they went to war, Milchemes Midian, the makar that you must be toivel a kli in the mikvah comes from Milchemes Midian. The Jews went to fight against the nation of Midian, and they conquered the land, and there were spoils of war. They brought home these kalim. Elazar told them, you have to be toivel them in the mikvah. Called Dovar, Asher Yovei Veish. First he told them to kasher them. That we're going to discuss soon. You first have to kasher it. If it was used for chazer, you have to do either hagala or libun, to pour boiling hot water into the utensil or to put it over an open fire. Then it says, v'toher, ach, after you finish kashering the kelim, ach b'mei nida yischata. Those are the key words for our simin. You must then take the utensil and immerse it in a kosher waters of purification. B'lamdu chazal shemulvad ha'hechsher kelim b'macholos asuras tzarich litbol kol hakelim ha'nilkachim min hagoyim b'mikvei kosher oimayim. In addition to kashering a non-kosher utensil, you also have to immerse it in the mikvah. Why does Hashem warn us to be tovel kelim? Shabochar banu Hashem Elokim l'nachalosai, v'evdilanu min hatoyim, v'kideshanu b'kedushasai. Shenema v'avdil eschem no'amim lios li. Hashem has separated us to be His holy nation. Uchsiv hiskadishtem v'hisem kedoshim. V'hainu shekeshahakli. Bereshus Hagodes, the Or HaChaim, it's a little more Kabbalistic, but it's a very nice Hagdama. When a food utensil, is in the possession of a non-Jew, Shoira Olav Tuma She'eino Oiveres Ela Alidei Tevila. It rests upon the food utensil of a non-Jew a koach of Tuma, of contamination and purification, that only can be removed through immersing it in a mikvah, kosher mikvah. The av she'ein zeh tuma mamish, it's not mamish tameh, because if you touch a utensil, a person is 100% tar, and you touch a utensil that was owned by a goy, you do not become tameh. The only time you become tameh is if you come in contact with a dead body, come in contact with an avela, come in contact with a sheretz. There's no such thing in the Torah that a person comes in contact with a utensil that is owned by a goy, he becomes tameh. No such thing. If we know for a fact that this utensil never came in contact with oil hanes, never came in contact with a sheretz, even if it did, it's only going to be a rishon cannot be metameh person. There's no such halacha anywhere in the Torah that you become tameh by touching a utensil. Eino chanami. We're not dealing with that form of tumah. We're dealing with a different type of tumah. There is some type of tumah that is shoyer, that is resting upon the utensil of a non-Jew, that can only be purified through immersion in the mikvah. Sharei loy nogu b'tumah, v'gamin metameh el mishnagei b'chli zeh, mikol makom have Ein tuma v'chein milashoyn v'toher. The fact the Torah says that you should immerse it in a mikvah v'toher, mashma shumitzad hatuma lehaaloisa letaharo. You have to release it from its tuma by putting it in a mikvah. Okay, with that introduction, now let's go see the halachas. Haloi keach kelim hashayachim lesuda be'oyved kachavu mazolas afilu him kelim chadoshim im him shalmine matochos zechuches also l'shtamish b'hem shum tashmish afilu b'tzaynin ad shetelim oisam b'mayim o b'mikva. If you purchase utensils that are used for a meal, for a suda, and we're going to discuss the details in a moment, and basically the only type of utensils required tefillah are utensils that come in direct contact with finished food, food that is a finished product. Even if it comes in contact with food, when it comes in contact with the food is not yet roi l'achila, it would not require tefillah. We'll give some examples soon. But if the utensil comes in contact with a food that is a finished product, that is ready for consumption, then it requires tefillah. Even if the utensil is brand new, the guy never used it, so there's no kashrus issue. It does not require hagolo or libun. Does not require to be. You do not need to purge any non kosher residue with hot water or a torch. It doesn't matter if it was owned by a guy, and if it was mainly manufactured by a guy. It requires tefillah. What requires tefillah? Metal and glass. Now, metal is gezeres hakasav. All of the kelim that I mentioned in the parsha, Parshas Matos, where we learn this halacha from the Chumash Midyan, it only mentions their metal utensils, gold, silver, or copper. Only metal requires tefillah. But if it's not metal, plastic, or anything, even glass min haTorah, does not require tefillah. However, midrabbanan, you have to be toivel glass. Yeah.
Is this literal that you buy it from the guy? Example: you go to a house.
Okay, we're going to discuss. He's going to discuss it in detail. There are basically two rules: if it was bought from a guy, if a guy had ownership, or if a guy manufactured it. Mm-hmm. Even if the guy does not own it, the factory is owned by a Jew. But it's manufactured, the one that actually makes it, the one that's hands on is a guy, then it requires tefillah at least without a bracha, but at least as a precaution. If a guy has a chelik in the production of this utensil, whether the guy actually has crafted the utensil or the guy owns the utensil in some way or form, then it requires tefillah. Do you make a bracha in every situation? No. That we're going to come to in a few moments. Okay. But if a guy has a chelik, it requires tefillah. You only require tefillah for metal or glass. Metal is deraisa, glass is midrabanan. China, klicheres, does not require tefillah at all. If the china is glazed, so it depends. If there's a very thin type of glazing on klicheres, does not require. If there's a substantial thickness, then it does require. Is it also a difference if it's glazed on both sides, on the inside, on the out, or just on the inside? If it's only glazed on the inside, then it requires tefillah without a bracha. Only if it's glazed inside and out is it more problematic. We'll come to these things in a moment.
Why should it need on the outside if you don't use the outside?
Then even on the inside, it doesn't have significance. It's bottle. It's
because
not.
Buses from the inside.
The kli is defined. It's not only that where it comes in contact. That's another issue. It's not just the fact that it comes in contact. The kli has to be defined. What is this kli? If on the outside it's cheres and there's just some glass on the inside, even though it's thick, it's still called the kli cheres. Oh, but there's glass on the inside. The glass is insignificant. Doesn't make a difference. It doesn't have a status of glass that kli that requires tefillah. But if it's
let's say you have a microwave that you have to tefillah.
Yeah.
You have to tefillah the inside or the outside.
The microwave, you have to tefillah the whole microwave. Just the tray has to be tefillah. You have to tefillah the whole microwave. A toaster of Moshe holds, you don't have to be tevel the toaster. A toaster is only, the food is already finished, the bread is finished. a toaster oven, you sing.
Okay, take
the grates. So you've totally, even the grates, not so posh, not so total toaster, it's not
just the grates, the outside.
Even the grates, the food doesn't necessarily touch the grates unless you put the pizza on the grates itself. You don't put it on, yeah, okay, so then you tell them the grates.
But why not the home toaster? Because the outside.
That doesn't touch, those are the walls. The walls do not.
The same thing with a cleat on the bottom.
Okay, let's see. We'll go through some of the rules. Generally, you only have. We're very machmir. Today we're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about a lot of things that do not really require tzvila. Especially pull the plug out before you put it inside.
Shocking.
Okay, let's take a look. Zuchuches also l'shtanish m'shum tasha. I feel a bit so. You're not allowed to use it if it's cold. The kli is tame. You're not allowed to use it if it's cold. Ach, tovel no some b'mayin until you tovel in a mayin in a fountain or the mikveh in a mikveh b'makayim. Shakosha letzilas isha nida. In other words, a real kosher mikvah. Sometimes you have to be very careful. Sometimes you go to the mikvos, the men's mikvos, they're not always kosher. If it's not maintained properly, a real mikvah is a nida, is a deraisa. No one makes any mistake about that. A woman who goes as long as that to a woman goes to a mikvah, they go to a mikvah that their tefillah is a din deraisa. No, b'zman hazeh, a man never needs to go to a mikvah on a deraisa level. Impossible. There's no such shechatimsa b'zman hazeh when a man would need to be toivel in a mikvah min ha-toira. So why do men go to mikvah? It's a minog. Tahara, you go part of going, you go to every, yeah. only what?
Agerus,
is the tefillah deraisa? A very good point. I think about that. Is that deraisa? I'm not sure. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right, because part of being, you also have to be the kabanos. We don't do kabanos. Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe that's a din deraisa. Halacha l'Moshem is Sinai, that has to be 100% kosher. Good point. But derech klal, from birth, never needs to go to a mikvah that's kosher min haTorah. That's why it used to be, not anymore, but it used to be a lot of these mikvos that are the men mikvos, which they're not so machmir. If they are shy, it's very expensive to construct a mikvah, dealing with all these very complicated issues of mikvos, and not all the time are they able to be mahadir in every strict halacha. They're very lenient. Because you don't really need a mikvah. Even if you go into a hot shower of Tisha Kabin, that's also enough to take away Tumas Keri, and for Yom Kippur, going Erev Yom Kippur, it's a din of tshuva. So if it's not, it's only a minog, doesn't necessarily have to be the kosher mikvah. So therefore, when you come, you have kelim, and you need to be toivel de oraisa, you have to make sure that the men's mikvah you're going to be told them is really kosher on a deraisa level. So also in the stores. So a lot of these stores have these mikvos. If you don't have a good hechsher, you got to be very careful. Just because they have a store, oh, we have a mikvah in the basement, they have a store over here. Who says that mikvah is kosher? You have
it's
to
really easier to make the mikvah kosher for the kelim. Because you don't have to worry about filtering, the water should be clean.
That's what they're filthy dirty, those kelim mikvos. Filthy dirty. Who say, they do? Yeah, they do. That's to now in this modern world of chumras. So they have a hechsher. They'll go on the mikvah. They'll say this mikvah is under the supervision of a certain rav in the community, and therefore people are much more comfortable. Okay, go to the yam. That's a pashur either. You have to go to yam, to a river. You have to go to the yam, not to a river. Go to a river.
You don't see women going to the yam or to a river because they're very different.
With tznius. Sneas issues. Also today they'll arrest you. They'll think you're a terrorist. What are you doing there? But okay. But this is why he makes a very, it's a very important point, which was probably much more again his time when they had men mikvos, which were not really so kosher. Today it's not so. Today the men mikvos are very kosher. They're probably just as kosher as the women mikvos because we live in a very what? And they make them with all the chumras. People, Baruch Hashem, they have some really high, ultra high tech mikvahs. Frankel has a new ultra high tech mikvah. They have over here Rabbi Weinfeld has a beautiful, beautiful high tech mikvah. Rabbi Schmidman has a nice mikvah. So the men's mikvahs today are pretty. They're pretty good. So it's not much of an issue. Okay, but that's what he says over here, that should be kosher even midarais, so that's kosher for a woman's mikvah, because a woman needs to go to mikvah midarais. Before you travel the kli, what do you say? Mivarach mega bracha al kli echad. If you only been traveling one utensil, borachat Hashem akedim alachlam asherkin v'shod b'bitzos vanu al tzvilas keli on the utensil. Kli, I'm sorry, I'm mistaken. Kli, al tfilas kli. Kli. The al shnayim o yoyse mevarchem asher kedeshonu b'mitzot tzvanu al tfilas kelim. Plural. Base. Kevan sha kelim tzrichim tfila davka v'makam shakoshel tfilas nashim l'chein tzrichim lizot shlo ladbilan b'nahoros b'shas shahem gedolim. Rivers. Rivers are problematic. Why are they problematic? Because they're flowing. The only time mikvah is kosher is only when, if it's a mayon, if it's a natural body of water, a mayon, a spring water, it can flow, no problem whatsoever. But most rivers are not, they're not fountains. They're coming from rainwater. They're coming from melted snow. Rainwater, it's only kosher if it's gathered, if it's not in movements. It's not moving. So a river that is flowing is not kosher for a mikvah. Many rivers are a combination of both. There is natural spring water, there's natural water, or even ocean, an ocean, let's say it's connected to the ocean. So the ocean is a mayan, that's the ultimate mayan, the ocean. Or let's say there's another source of water, another mayan. And in addition, there's also a melted snow rainwater. The question is, what is the majority? If you have a river whose source of water is two, it's number one, half of the part of the source comes from a spring, a fountain, and the other part comes from rainwater, so, and it's in motion, so it depends. What's the majority? If the majority is spring water, it's okay. It's allowed to be in motion. If the majority is rainwater, it's not okay. Rainwater must be stationary in order for it to be kosher. So many rivers, it depends on the time of the year. In the springtime, they're no good. Because in the springtime, that's when the mountains melt and the snow melts, and the majority of the water is rainwater. And if it's rainwater, it must be stationary, not in movement. But in the winter, most of the water in many rivers is not rainwater, it is spring water. And spring water is kosher even if it is in motion. This is Gemara Masechet Shabbos. And that's exactly what it says over here, that you have to be very careful. You want to go down to a river to be toivel your kelim, make sure that the majority of the water is spring water, not rainwater. Rivers, when they're very large due to rain, v'hafsharas shelogim, and melted snow. This is very common in the spring, right before Pesach. Shanaharos gedolim, the rivers are very large. V'tovlim shom kelim, v'in nochem, it's not proper, it's not a kosher tefila. Gimel, clay eitz, wood utensils are not included in the parsha. In Parshas Matos, where Elazar enumerates the different types of kelim which must be immersed in neinida and purification water, that's a term for a mikvah, he does not mention wood. Being that it's not mentioned in the pasuk, wood utensils do not require tevila. Klei eitz einam tzrichim tevila. Vim yesh aleim chashukei barzel, hooks of iron. In other words, there are certain parts of the wooden utensils which have metal parts. So what status does it have? Is it called metal or is it wood? Tzrichim tefila b'loy bracha. So then it gets complicated. Is the metal the ikar or the metal not the ikar? So this depends. Some say yes, some say not. It also can depend on the type of utensil, what function the metal serves. Does it keep it together? Is the food coming in contact with it? Is it the ikar? Is it the tefel? So when you get into a combination of wood and metal, so then you should be tovel it without a bracha. Next, klei cheres, gam kein einon tzrichim tefila. Anything that comes from the earth. I know, today there's so many different types of utensils, all this technology that they use, different types of sands and earth to make utensils. Generally, if it comes from the ground, it does not require, but the in mitsupin bifnim ba'avar, if on the inside there is lead, or what he calls, if it's not really lead, shakarin oiferes, okay, lead, or galiz, glazed, so that somehow they make the lead into a glass. Tzrichin tefila b'loy brach, but this has to have a thick coating of glaze. And it's a thin coating, like on most china, that's nothing, that is not required. China is considered, cheres does not require tefila. V'chein clay, charis, v'chein porcelain. Porcelain, same rule. If there's a thick glaze, then you do. If it's thin, like most porcelain is very thin, does not require tevila. Dalad im hu kli yoshon shenis shtan shamish poiv chalim azolus vefin shetzer chachsher ba'agala. Let's say you buy on eBay, right? So you buy a pot on eBay from a guy. So the guy used it. So it's treif. So you have to do two things. You have to kasher it by filling it up with boiling hot water and mitoil it. Which one do you do first? So it says here, kashering always comes first. First you kasher it. Kashering is not a religious thing. It's scientific. Purely scientific. There are absorptions of tarfus, which you must purge. Therefore, purge it. How do you purge it? The same way you got in, he gets it, goes out. If it got in through boiling hot water, that's how it's going to go out. If it got in through fire, that's how it goes out. It's purely scientific. There's no spiritual element to kashering utensils. And that's why you don't have to kasher the whole utensil in one shot. When you toil something, we only go to the mikveh, you have to go in one shot. Your whole body must be immersed in one shot. When you toil a kli, the entire kli must be immersed in one shot. When you kasher a utensil, it's just scientific. Get the schmutz out. Get the schmutz out of the... Larry? In front of the cell. Just get the garbage out of the utensil. And therefore, as long as you remove the entire thing, it's okay, even if it does not... You don't kasher it in one shot. That's a very important difference between hagola and tzvila. Tzvila, you must immerse the entire utensil in one shot. When it comes to Hagola, you need not do so. You can do it in parts and bits and pieces. Next, halacha hey. Here we come to the complicated case, Mr. Rapport. These are really your questions. Here we come to these issues. If you borrow, okay, I'm only borrowing it. It's a very big chiddush that it's not going to contaminate your food. I'm borrowing it. In other words, you're renting it. And you know for a fact that the kli is kosher. Yeah, normally when you go and you borrow a kli from a guy, you have to be chayesh at its trace. So maybe it is trace. You're going to kasher it. But the guy still owns it. You do not need tevil. That's an incredible chiddush. Because it really runs against the whole nature of what the purpose of tefillah is. The purpose of tefillah is to remove the tumah. So this tumah, so it belongs to God, this tumah. So how come now when you're borrowing and renting it, the answer is gzeres hakasef. Gzeres hakasef, the case of tefillah was where the Jews, Klal Yisrael, they conquered Midian and they legally acquired new kalim. The case of the Torah is not where the Klal Yisrael borrowed kalim from Midian. That's not the case.
You don't kasher it, because I think we're machmed to do tefillah after you kasher it.
Yeah.
So if you would take it from a guy alone,
and you kasher it,
then you
have to be tefillah. No, you know, that's exactly what it says.
No, he doesn't say that you kasher it. He says you took it.
He's not discussing, that's another issue. He's not getting involved with kasher. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. If this clean, you know for a fact that God never used, you know it's kosher, it's kosher. You don't need to do anything.
I don't know if this is a minute or not, but whenever you kasher clean, even if it's your own kalim, you're kashering, let's say, you should
title
it after you kasher it.
Where does it say that? No, I'm not familiar. I never heard that. Maybe there is something to it.
It's on the back burner.
Yeah.
It's on the back burner.
You ask him. You trust him. Generally, you have to assume that the kalim of a guy are non-kosher. That's the general assumption. You have to assume, although, unless you know it's brand new, it's in a sealed box, and he's lending it to you, so very good, so you can use it. You don't have to kasher it. Maybe it's metal, so you will kasher it, but you do not need to be tevil to make around it, because according to the Torah, the only kashering is when you acquire, not when you borrow from an angoy. And this has been a very big nafkamina l'kula. We'll see in a few moments that what happens if it's Shabbos and you have guests coming, and guess what? I forgot to be tevil the kalim in the mikvah. So what you can do is you can give it as a gift to the guy. I'll give it to you. I have a goy shneim next door. Guess what, Johnny? Next door, I have a gift for you. We'll see all these kalim. They're yours. Can I borrow them, please? So then it's going to be borrowed utensils. And you don't have to be tevil. Or you can.
According to, if you read the kitzur literally, doesn't say that you have to assure that they're kosher.
That's not the issue. That's not what is focused. This is a kitzur. This is a shorthand version of halacha. That's a separate halachic issue. whenever you borrow a utensil, you go to a store, you buy food, you have to, is it kosher or not kosher? That's a separate issue. That's not what we're discussing. You borrow a utensil from a guy, is the utensil kosher or non kosher? Put that issue aside. If it's kosher, good. If it's not kosher, you have to kasher it. Do I need to be toivel in the mikveh? The end, that is the only issue we are addressing, and the answer is no. The
The first time I bought a can of soda, the machine, the can of soda, everybody looked at me like I was from outer space. What's their custom there? Because you have to pour it into a glass and drink it. You can't drink from the can because the can is tefillah, it was made by a guy and you acquired it.
Okay, that some of Machan like that. They ask a Shaila more, you know, it's a much more common Shaila. Moshe talks about this.
Yeah, I know. The can was made by a guy. I was 18. The can of soda,
the aluminum can was made by a guy.
A guy never touched it. It's all made by a
manufactured, doesn't matter. It's manufactured.
Even a glass.
The big Shaila of Moshe, the main Shaila is a whiskey. It used to be very popular whiskey bottles. People, some of the whiskey bottles, people like to save. Some of them are shaped with very nice designs. People like to save whiskey bottles
or
expensive or bottles of wine, very expensive, nice bottles. Glass, or even crystal, some of the very expensive bottles, which you want to reuse it. Now, these things were never, now here's what Rav Moshe says, tremendous chiddush. So are you required to be toivel these things before you use it again? Now, no one's drinking from the bottle. Let's put aside the can.
You don't put a straw in?
Let's put aside the can. Okay, the can is different because the can is disposable. The can, we'll come to the can in a few moments. But let's talk about something that's much more significant. Let's talk about a whiskey bottle. Why don't you need to be toivel the whiskey bottle before you use? The answer is because you're not drinking from the whiskey bottle. The only time you need to be toivel is only from kalim. He's going to say that beferish in a few moments, are kalim which you actually you eat from. I have a dish. I have a glass cup. I drink from it. Things that you actually, they touch your mouth and they hold the food which is ready for consumption, those are the types of utensils which require tefillah. A serving bowl technically does not require tefillah if you are absolutely certain you'll never eat from it directly. Because you're not directly eating from it. So a bottle that you store the whiskey, the bottle, you're not drinking from the bottle. You take the whiskey, you pour the whiskey into a utensil. If you do drink from the bottle, then it is a problem. Then in Chanan it would be a problem. Because glass then requires tefillah, and the glass belonged to a guy. So this is a chiddush in Rav Moshe. Look what Rav Moshe says. You finish the whiskey. Okay, when I drank the whiskey, I never. Now I want to use it. I want to use it for other things. Now, if you're going to use it for other things, you technically...
You could drink from the bottle again?
Maybe. Let's say you would. I didn't think about that.
It comes up by aluminum pan.
Oh, when it comes down to the bottle. Those are disposable. I'm not up to that yet. I want to talk about something which is not disposable. Yeah. If it's disposable, right away, 90% of the post can say, forget about it. Disposable things is not what midyan. Clay midyan are permanent utensils.
I'm not talking about every room.
I'm not up to that. Let's get sidetracked. And Moses, when did this thing become now fit to be used as a clay? After you finish the whiskey and it's empty, as far as the guy is concerned, they only sold it to you to store, to serve as a container to store the whiskey. You, the Jew, made it now into a utensil by deciding to use it as a kli to store food on your table. So who made the utensil? The Jew made the utensil. If a Jew makes a utensil, do you require tefillah? No. The only time you require tefillah on a utensil is a utensil is made by a goy. The goy makes the utensil, and then you acquire it. Then you need tefillah. But if a Jew makes the utensil, you do not require tefillah. This bottle of whiskey was made by a goy. But when the goy sold it to you, it did not require tefillah. Because it was not meant to be used as a serving utensil, just meant to be used as a storage utensil. A storage utensil does not require tefillah. Now I finished its use as storage. Now I want to use it as something more practical, something which would require require tefillah. Who made that transfer from being something which is only be a storage to something that's going to be used on a practical level? It was me, the Jew. It was my decision. I didn't actually do anything physical to the bottle to make a difference, but my mind had made the decision that now it's going no longer going to be used just as a storage container. It's going to be used as something which I'm going to put on my dining room table to use as serving to be used.
Whether it's a sealed little thing, it's you punch it a hole.
That's,
and you
so
make it
there's
drinkable.
The difference. So there's the difference when you had the popped out cans. When they saw when it used to be the old cans, it was made only as a storage clean. But when it was
drinkable
clean originally, and then it was sealed after the can was made. So then it was a clean first, and then it was sealed. Once so it has a different status, they claimed in
you
terms
need the
of
church
can
originally.
Yeah, it's different.
For the most part, generally anything that's disposable, it's meant to be used one or two times, is not what the Torah says. The Torah talks about clay, midyan, these are permanent utensils.
So the chayre, let's say you go into a factory, you buy a bunch of pots, but they don't have the handles on it.
Yeah.
You take the pots, the guy made the pots, and you would be.
I don't know if that's significant. That's
so
not.
You need the kali. You can't sell a pot.
Maybe yes, maybe not. Putting a hand on a pot, it's not necessarily a significant enhancement.
You can't sell it otherwise.
Who says you need to sell it? It's a matter of use. Can you use it? Can you use it?
No, you can't use it without a handle.
Okay, so this is a very big chiddush of Ramosha. Ramosha learns that making a utensil is not just something physical, it's a matter of the mind. It's decision. A bottle of whiskey is not something that you put that you. It's not a serving. Serving utensils require tefillah. But a bottle of whiskey is not a serving utensil. It's something that's a storage utensil. Storage utensils do not require tefillah. When you finish using the bottle of whiskey as storage, and now you want to use it for serving on the table, who is making that decision to make it from storage into a serving utensil? You! So who has made this into a utensil? A Jew. A Jew made into a utensil does not require tefillah. Now what, those aluminum pans, that of course depends what you buy made. The savings you buy in pomegranate could cost like 5 times the price, but those aluminum pans, most 90% of the products can do not require tefillah because it's disposable. It's only meant there are some extreme achmirim, that's what they do require tefillah. Okay, they require tefillah. And then let's say you're from that camp that would require tefillah on these aluminum pans, and then you're really stuck. Now you're in a situation where you need the pan. So if you're dealing with a solid, something which you don't care if it has a little hole, if you don't care that it has a little hole, so the solution is, like you make, if you want like make a bigger chalz, they want to use these pans for baking purpose. Many people, they have baked cakes. They put cake batters, or they challah, so it doesn't have to be completely sealed. It can have holes, no problem. The cake will bake just the same. So the solution is, you take your thing, you turn it upside down, you take a knife, you have to have a good knife, and you flatten it. You cut on the four corners. You cut the four corners, and you flatten out the aluminum pan, the aluminum disposable pan for 25 cents. You've now flattened it into a flat piece of aluminum sheet. And then what do you do? Turn it and just reconstruct it. Put it back together, so you, the Jew, has now manufactured. You mevatel from the din, you mevatel from the aluminum pan of a guy, and it's been constructed by a Jew, and now, once again, it's kosher.
You said before about a serving dish. You don't eat directly from the serving.
Doesn't matter. It's good enough, since you can. A serving dish is a very fine line between storage. You're right. Yes, a very good question. There's a very fine line between the storage utensils that do not require tefillah and serving utensils.
You don't eat from the serving dish.
A pot. A pot requires to, but you don't eat from the pot. Doesn't matter. The pot is called a serving utensil. A pot, it's like you're saying, it's a very fine line. If you have a pot, and the pot is used, you keep this metal pot in your closet to store the food. Okay, the food is very delicate. You want to keep it fresh. Now you want to have a very thick pot made from metal. Real good solid metal to store the food. I don't need tefillah. Oh, but it's coming in direct contact with the food. But it's not coming in contact with the food at the time when you eat it. There's a very delay. You're not going to ever eat directly from it. You're going to take it and you're going to cook it. You're going to put it on a plate.
Why that to a serving dish?
No, a serving dish is considered. I'm not clear. I don't have a good. I'm not clear in exactly, but a serving dish is considered to be a utensil which you actually use in your meal, and it comes in direct contact, and that's what it's considered in halacha and requires tefillah with a bracha. Only things that are 100% classified as storage do not require tefillah, even if they're glass or metal.
So oven doesn't need
Definitely not. Oven does not. The grates do not. Because 90% of the time you'll never put something, you'll never put food on the grates itself. If you're going to put the pizza on the grate itself, you got a problem. You might, then you should, you do require to feel on the grates. But no one does that. No one puts the pizza right on the grates. People do that?
No.
I don't know. What?
You're not eating
anything that comes in direct contact with the food. If it comes direct contact with the food, then it requires tefillah.
Use a cooking sheet.
Let's say, what about you have the urns? So those require tefillah. Problem is, there's a metal component. What do you do with the metal component? The electronic part. So many people tell you, don't worry, just tie it and let it sit for 48 hours, it'll dry, nothing will happen. Not necessarily. If you have a computer, you have computer chips, you don't want to do that, you're going to ruin it. So then you have to, if you can't be toilet, you don't...
What I used to do was put a piece of tape over the hole. I mean, good tape. I know, so it didn't, it missed on the outside a little bit.
It's the best you can do. That's a tremendous cooler, and that's and a cooler you should never do that.
Yeah, you could go, what you could do is have, like we have a Shabbos guy, you should have a guy say
you're masculine. People do that all the time.
You should have a guy fined by the keila, and anyone that has a keili can say I'm giving this to this guy and then I'm going to borrow it. So he'll know anyone, he's kind of
b'shas hatchach, you can be masculine. People do this, it's done, they masculine it. But it's a very, very big kula to be samichan, and only you only can rely on it for a short period of time. Okay, let's go further. Let's go further. Are we gonna have a minion today? I don't have a minion today.
We have one right now.
I think it's getting smaller.
Right,
it's getting it's getting smaller and smaller. Okay.
Maybe it'll get grow.
Okay, let's see a little bit further. Imshal. Okay, so let's go to this hakamkin halacha one more time. This halacha. Let's see this halacha. Dalid imhu kli yashan shenishtamish ve'uchavim kol mazos ve'efen shetzach hechshav agol v'didavar liban tzach first kli. Hey, okay, let's see. Hey, one more time. Im shalo oisachar kli ve'uchavim mazos in tzach tila. Okay, if you borrow rent, you do not require tila. The im shalo oisachar kelim michen v'ni Yisrael. Let's say you borrow or you rent kelim michen v'ni Yisrael tzrichin tevila. Beloy bracha. Now this means who's the one who made the kli? Here's the other chumrah. The chenvini is the stokim. Was you buying kalim? Who owns? Who's the retailer? The retailer is a Jew. Like you go to the Buzz, or you go to I don't know any of these in any of these Jewish electronic stores. So who owns it? Who's the retailer? The retailer is a Jew. What? Okay, but let's the realtor that's not bankrupt. The one that actually owns, the retailer buys, he buys from the wholesaler. So he owns it. Just because the Jew owns it, but who's the one who manufactured it? Panasonic is not Jewish. Sony is not Jewish. The one who manufactured it is the guy. So you still need Vimshel Tzach if you go and so of course you have to be terrible. Let's say, now here's the Chiddush. Let's say you are renting it. You're not buying it from the storekeeper. You go to a store, and the store has kelim that were made by goyim, and you are borrowing or renting it from a Jewish owner. So look what's happening here. You are borrowing the kli was owned by a Jew, and you are borrowing it or leasing it from the Jew, but it was manufactured by a goyim. So do we follow, do we look at the owner, or do we look at the manufacturer? So the answer is, it's a very tough question. It's a tough question that the one that manufactured was a guy, and that is enough, even that is enough to require that there should be tefillah at least without a brach. In other words, if a guy has any part in its ownership or construction, then it requires tefillah.
So what could possibly be made without a guy? Unless, everything comes from China today. Even if it's,
so that's right. Everything requires tefillah, unless Eretz Yisrael. Only things, the things that really come Eretz Yisrael, everything there is owned by Jews. The Jews
like
are...
Silver, even,
but Israel gets their stuff from China.
So in the Hanami, they get it from China, they have to be tefillah. Yeah. You have to be tefillah then. It's not so simple.
And if a Jew owns the factory, it doesn't make a difference?
If the goyim are making it, they're the ones that are fashioning it. No, it has to be tefillah.
Even if Jews... Giving
without a bracha. Tefillah without a bracha. Yep, that's what it says. Now once it was tabled once, then that there was the first customer who rents from the chenveni, he's tabled it. So now it's been tabled. Once it's been tabled, even though it's going back into the hands of the, and the chenveni is going to rent it out a second time, he should be modia, the people who buy, that you don't need to be tabled a second time, because It already was immersed one time. Halacha Yivav Yisrael Hamachzik Beis Yitzikah Shoisin Sham Klei Zechuchis Apoyelim Heim Einem Yehudim. If the Jew owns the factory and the workers are Goyim, Hakelim Shenasim Sham Tzrichim Tzvila B'loy Baruch. Exactly what it says. That if it's manufactured by a Goy, even though everything is owned by a Jew, it does require tefillah without a bracha. A Zayin. Yisrael shenosan kesef ha'yishar minim ha'tochas lumen oiv v'kuchav v'mazolah shi'asa le'kli oiv shi'asakim le'kli b'shu nokov. The kli is broken. You have a broken utensil and you give it to a Goy. This could even apply. I wonder if this applies. I know this applies, let's say, deals with electronical kalim. Let's say if you have an urn or some type of gadget that you use for food and it's broken and you send it away to a guy to fix. So when the guy fixes it, when he comes back, so if he fixed it in a significant way, it requires tefillah once again, even though it had already had tefillah, but because it broke, it was not functional, it had no use. Now when you get it back, you need to tefillah once again. She asked, for example, a kli, the kli has a hole. And now with the hole, now that there's a hole, so the kli can no longer contain liquid of revius, tzarech gam tefillah boi bracha, you have to tefillah again without a bracha. Ches. Einai tzarech tefillah ele kli shem mishtam shem boi lemachal shuroi loch lo miyad b'li shum tikkun achar. Here we come to put halachas. Only time you need a kli which is ready for consumption immediately without any further tikkun. Avla barzel shemisaknin boi es hamatzois vishe. So we go to a matzah factory and they have those things where they roll on the dough which makes holes. Do you need to be toivel those things which go on the dough? No. Because those things that you roll, those metal things that you roll which make holes in the dough, come in contact with the dough at a time when the dough is not rohoi liachila. The only type of metal utensils or glass utensils that require tefillah are things that come in contact with the food at a time when the food is roi liachila, mamish. But if it comes in contact with the food at a time when it's not roi, like a lot of the baking things, people, all these fancy tools that people use, like technically speaking, you have those machines, the cookie cutter, also they have those are the dough mixers, those machines, those long, I don't know what they're called, those long, metal things, you put in a machine and it stirs the dough, you don't have to be tied with that. Oh, but it comes in contact with the dough. It comes in contact with the dough. So what? It's coming in contact with the dough at a time when the dough is not royal achilah, so even though it's made from metal, it does not require tefillah. Okay. Would stitch up. They would sew stuffed chicken. They would open up the chicken. They would fill it. Would put it with stuff, and they would sew up the stomach or whatever they would do. And they use metal needles. Those needles do not require tefillah because the meat is not edible. It's raw at the time when they're doing the sewing. But the sakin shell, so today they wouldn't let you dare touch it. Right? A sheikh will let you use his sakin to go use to cut slice of meat. It doesn't matter. It's roi to cut. Sakin shell shchita, the sakin shem avshitin boy kevin sheefshar lehishtamesh besakin zel lemachal shenigmar. Even though no one will let you do it, but since technically speaking it's a knife is a knife, and you can use a knife to cut a piece of ready meat that's on the table, the mela, you have to be toivel the sakin shel shchita, even though you wouldn't. It's a very chiddush. V'chein tasim, shemanichim alei matzos, boards, pieces of metal which you put the matzah, when the matzah comes out of the oven, the storage containers, the shemanichim alei matzos tzrichim tefila b'loy bracha. Why b'loy bracha? Because it's not mamish a kli which you eat from. You put the matzah there, and I don't think how this today anymore, because everything is paper and metal and wood. But if you were to have some type of storage container which you would store the matzah, so those type of storage containers require tefillah without a bracha.
What about a shari that's knife?
Yeah.
As well, I think it is. Says a shari that's knife smokes not sharp.
It smokes because it smokes a machmas ksan kiss.
Yeah. Well, because you wouldn't
use it. But yet it says it requires, it's here and there. Contradiction. Okay, very interesting.
A can opener,
no. Definitely not.
It's not touching.
Doesn't touch the food. Opens up the can, absolutely not. No need to tell a can opener. The shalosh raglayim shemamidim alav es hakeder, the grates. Okay, the three raglayim shalosh, the stand for the keder, the grates on the oven, on your range. On your range. Everyone has metal grates. The metal grates need tefillah? Absolutely not. The grates are to support the pot. The pot needs tefillah, not the metal grates. Shemachal, does the blech need tefillah? Absolutely not. I don't need to tell a blech. She'ein hamachal ba'atzah negevo in tzorach tefillah. Aval shaput shel matochos, a spit of metal. She'tzon lo basar. You have a barbecue. A barbecue spit does require it, because sometimes they'll get a little bit carried away and they start eating off the spit. So since sometimes no one's watching, you'll eat off the, even if someone's watching, you'll eat off the spit, so the spit does require tefillah. Here we come to large glass containers. Bakbukim. She'ein you don't drink from large glass containers. They're very, very large containers. The canter, what are the canters?
Canters, wine canter,
right. These very large containers of the canter, you don't drink directly. They're storage. They're storage you do not require. The einam tzrichim tefillah. V'yesham, some say the tzrichim, some say they do require tefillah. Memela, the best thing is, v'yesha tefillah b'loy 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 bracha. Some say yishmeli, shvibachmi, b'loy bracha. That's the general rule. You have a suffix. If it comes directly in contact with food, then generally you do require tefillah. But not all the time do you require a bracha. If it's a one step removed from when you actually put it in your mouth, make contact with your mouth, then you do tefillah without a bracha. Test. Rechaim shel pilpul and tzrichim tefillah mishum hamatochos avla tachta, and the rechaim, the mill, the upper portion of the mill. So that part comes in direct contact with the finished product. And being that it comes in contact with the finished product, the pepper mill, therefore it's metal, it does require tefillah. But the blow portion, which is makabel, which is made from wood, that is not, of course, wood never requires tefillah. But tachton shemakabel zatav, the kevin shushol, it's in tefillah. Rechaim shel kofeh, shigesh lebu blei bracha. Another, it grinds up the coffee grinder. So the coffee is dissolved that you actually make comes in contact. That's the food that you're going to. That's going to come into your body and it's making direct contact. It makes direct contact, and mainly you do require tefillah. Tzrichem lashkiach. Okay, no, we're out of time. Just says one halach before we conclude, and that is, what happens if you have a kli? The release of stuff. What happens if you have a kli? They go to a restaurant, and then they tell you, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, we forgot to tell the kelim. Are you allowed to eat the food? You have a plate of food, and on the plate, it's glass, it's glazed, or it's a glass cup, or metal. Oh, we forgot to be tovel the kelim. So what's the halacha? So the general rule is liquids, you're not allowed to drink. Because the only way you can't eat liquids with your hands. Drink it with your fingers. Liquids, you need the kli. And if you don't have the kli, there's no liquid. It's all gone on the floor. So if you have a glass utensil and they will not toivel it, you're not allowed to drink. The water has to be spilled out, or the liquid.
What
if
about
it's,
if your spoon is done?
No. So utensils, you don't. The dievet, it's okay. Why? Because the kli is not really doing anything. If you take away the kli, so the food will stay on the table. You can eat the food off the table. If there's no kli, so you can eat the food off the table. You eat the food off the table, so you don't really need the kli. I don't really need the kli. So b'diavad, you can eat the food even though you forgot to be tovel the plate.
Soup not.
Any liquid that is currently in a utensil or was prepared in a utensil, a liquid that was prepared in a utensil that is critical for its preparation, then the food becomes, it's not tarfus, but you're not allowed. It was.
What if the food is has moisture in it, example?
Doesn't matter. As long as it's a solid.
Can you move it into a different plate?
Yes, you should have to.
But if it's in a pot, you're stuck.
You're stuck. Liquid,
a little more?
I don't think so. I think once liquid has been prepared in utensils that are not kosher, you're not allowed to drink it. You're not allowed to consume them. So solids, these, yes.
So all these companies that, let's say, make soup, like,
yes,
whatever, tabachniks, etc., they have big pots. They have big
They're owned by goyim. The Jews don't. The only time you need tefillah is when a Jew acquires a utensil from a goy. If the Jew is using his services, so it's owned by a goy, and the Jew is using the service, it's like borrowing. If you come in to do a kosher run on equipment of a goy, you don't have to be tovel the kalim, because the kalim are owned by goyim. The tefillah is only required when a Jew takes possession of a utensil that was owned by a goy.
To have Jewish companies.
Why not?
Because
just be tovel the kalim.
You have to have a mashgacha that is tefillah's kalim.
That's part of the hashgacha. That's part of the hashgacha. You need the that's their responsibility to make sure that everything has been tovel. Okay, we'll stop here. Once you deal with these industrial, they're not called kalim. If something is not movable, these massive machines that are mechubal karka. Then that does not fit into the.
So that definition of mechubal karka applied also to tumas.
Yeah, it does.
Machrin, or it's only talking with.
It has to be like the claiming. The claiming with utensils which were movable, not utensils which were permanently attached to the ground. Okay, we'll stop here, take a little break.